unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 249 years ago, some men signed their names at the bottom of that statement. But one of the most important phrases in that opening sentence are found these words, inalienable rights. Inalienable. Not a word we probably use every day, unless we're talking about the Declaration of Independence. But what does it mean? It's defined as something unable to be taken away or given away by the possessor. See, the framers of the Declaration saw these rights as something derived from God and not from the government, not something that could be taken away. They went on then to list a series of grievances against the King of England and declaring him to be unfit to rule a free people. But we're here to remember and to observe the Lord's Supper. So let's tweak some of those words for this time, if you will, and reflect upon the truths that hold us. Consider the rights that our Savior had and He possessed that were inalienable, only in that they could not be taken from Him. John 1:3 says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus could do anything, and nothing could be taken from Him. However, He could give up some rights. As Paul would go on to write in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death on the cross. As a crucifixion was drawing near, Jesus made it clear to His disciples that He was giving up His life on His own accord. John 10:18. And then when He instituted the Lord's Supper, as He broke the bread, He said, "This is My body given for you." So at this time, as we look at the Lord's Supper, may we make a declaration of dependence on Christ, upon a Savior. As we hold these emblems, let us reaffirm these truths that hold us. And instead of listing grievances against our King, let us humbly acknowledge His grace that He has, as Colossians 1:3 says, that He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. Father, we come before You today, knowing by far that we are not independent of ourselves. Father, we need You. We need Jesus. And so, Father, as we come to remember what He done, Father, to pay that price, to bring us out of the realm of darkness into the new light of His Son, of Your Son, Father, to be purchased back to You. Father, You looked at us with a value that is beyond compare. Father, a value that we seldom see in ourselves. But Father, the price that You were willing to pay for us was beyond silver and gold. But it was done with the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, as we partake this day, may we understand our need. Father, may we understand also our value. That, Father, that we might from this point on proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And Father, may we examine ourselves and may we understand, Father, our dependence upon the blood of Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.